This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Airbnb.
I just got invited to the first wedding of the summer.
Yeah.
Happens to be a gay wedding.
Nice.
Very excited to attend.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay. Second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, T-Boy Tuesday, November 10th.
Nick, I have always been jealous of that chambray shirt you're wearing.
No, I appreciate that, dude.
You know, in Vermont, we call that denim.
Jack, it's the flannel of New York City. In the meantime, snackers, we've got our three F's today. Food, fashion, and pharma.
That makes this the best Snacks Daily we've ever done. First story, Jack.
Pfizer just unofficially announced that its COVID vaccine it's been working on.
Yeah.
It works.
Okay, we'll take it. Stock surged. Zoom dropped. Awkward.
For our second story, Beyond Meat was about to announce their own earnings report.
And then McDonald's announced it's Zuckin' Beyond Meat. That's the worst thing that could happen right now.
Not good for Beyond. Third and final story, Supreme started in the 1990s in New York City as a skateboard store in Soho.
It's all grown up, Jack. It's publicly traded. It's worth $2.1 billion, and it's got a whole new bunch of siblings.
That's a bunch of siblings to fight for the captain seat in that minivan.
We got Vans, we got Tim's, we got the North Face. It's like a family gathering, get together.
But snackers, before we hit those three fantastic stories, Homo sapiens are in an epic battle against robots for the future of work.
Jack, you're thinking like the old AI, VR, AR, robo, machine learning thing we're hearing in every single tech earnings report right now?
No, for real, there is an existential threat to like human economies in the 21st century.
Robots replacing humans in a variety of jobs, kind of a concerning issue.
Nick and I are kind of concerned that we're like three software upgrades away from robots taking over the pot.
This is Nick. This is Jack.
Whipping out the takeaways.
But Jack and I just noticed something fascinating. The first time in a long time that we've got a win in the humans column in the battle versus the robots.
Walmart just announced they're abandoning plans to have robots take over the cleaning of the stores.
Yeah, over in Arkansas, they had these like 6-foot-tall robotic operatives roaming the aisles of Walmarts nationwide to like clean the place up.
Think that creepy robot that made a cameo in Rocky IV visiting Polly and like the recovery center.
Nightmares. That was freaky. These things are like giant vertical air conditioner size, but they're on wheels.
Walmart cited two issues for mothballing that project to have robots take over the cleaning.
Okay, so the first reason Walmart's not going to go through with the robots, they simply freaked customers out.
I think rule number one of robots, they should either look totally not like humans or look a lot like humans, but they were like in a creepy in-between.
It was a human-sized dehumidifier shellacking the shelves with spray, not something you want to see in aisle 6.
The second reason the robots lost this battle was that humans clean faster, actually.
But Jack and I whipped up what we think is a fair third reason why Walmart should have gotten rid of the robots.
PR. That's the third reason. PR.
Walmart stock, record high. Unemployment, also record high.
Wouldn't be a good look to have robots replacing human jobs right now.
If it's a toss-up between the humans and the robots, you give the robots the shift off.
Yeah, robot, why don't you go ahead and sit this one out?
Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
For our first story, Pfizer and BioNTech are the scientific heroes of the day right now. So far, and that's a big so far, but Nick, their experimental COVID vaccine is 90% effective.
Jack and I were talking about this earlier. Now, I'm thinking the edit button on Twitter, Jack.
I'm thinking a self-driving car that can actually self-drive.
Jack, is it too much to ask for guac that's not extra?
Snackers, we've been waiting for a lot of things for a lot of time.
A whole long time. But the main one we've been waiting for, how about a COVID vaccine?
The hero of the day yesterday was Pfizer, the 171-year-old pharmaceutical company founded by a German-American immigrant in New York City.
Pfizer, though, is partnered up with BioNTech, which is a 12-year-old German firm founded by Germans.
Nick's better at like unassisted pronunciation. I thought it was BioNTech, but let's go with BioNTech.
Cute kid, it's BioNTech. Now, their phase 3 trials, Jack, they're like, they aren't done yet technically, but the news was so good. These two companies, they couldn't help themselves. They had to tell somebody. They couldn't help.
Yeah, they gave us like a partial report card yesterday.
Yeah.
Pfizer and BioNTech told us that their vaccine so far is 90% effective in preventing human beings from contracting COVID-19.
Seems like a good number. That's like an A-minus number. You'll take the A-minus. You'll definitely take the A-minus.
Nick, it's not just a good number. Scientists, the most optimistic scientists, were hoping for 75% effectiveness.
But Jack, here is the wild thing. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, they're happy to accept 50% effectiveness.
Yeah, so Snackers, this was like an A triple plus. And Nick, there must be, though, like a downside. Was there a long list of side effects that are kind of alarming?
May cause drowsiness, dizziness, dry mouth, rash.
No, there were actually no side effects so far recorded on humans.
Pharma world got like so excited about this. Dr. Fauci actually said the words, "The results are really quite good. I mean, extraordinary."
You hear that, Snackers? Dr. Fauci corrected himself because he wasn't enthusiastic enough the first time.
Nothing like the mid-sentence correction. I mean, nothing like the mid-sentence correction.
That's why stock markets overall jumped by 4% at the open yesterday, eventually finishing up 3%.
So here's the key to this story, Snackers. Pfizer has now whipped up a vaccine that specifically targets the spike protein within COVID-19.
We're not scientists, but that is what this Pfizer vaccine is targeting.
And the key part here is that so do all the other vaccines. They also target the spike protein.
Right. So Pfizer's success with 90% effectiveness, that bodes well for the success of vaccines being worked on by other pharmaceutical companies that aren't quite this far in the trials.
It's like when you get the email from the TA confirming that you're all studying the right textbook chapters for the exam tomorrow.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So Pfizer and BioNTech stocks, they jumped by 8% and 14% yesterday because of the news.
And then the other pharma companies out there that are also working on vaccines, picture like Moderna, their stocks also jumped yesterday on this great news.
Okay, so we had a party in the laboratories across the world yesterday, but Nick, that wasn't it.
No.
Reopening stocks, they had profound impact from yesterday's news.
Jack, you gotta see these numbers. Airlines, let's look at Delta, up 17%. Gym chains, check out Planet Fitness, up 16%.
That is nothing compared to AMC movie theaters, whose stock jumped 51% yesterday.
Jack, you wanna hang out like over on 34th Street?
Sure do.
No, you don't. But if you did wanna own shares in the Empire State Building, you could. You can own a stock called Empire State Realty Trust. Its shares surged 38% yesterday.
Isn't Empire State Building where Elf's father lives?
It is where he lives. If you go a little further south, you get to Madison Square Park. Boom, that stock up 16% for Shake Shack.
And then we cross the Lincoln Tunnel.
Those reopening stocks, they're having a blast. Meanwhile, all the like indoor stocks that have been having so much fun in 2020, not as much fun yesterday.
Peloton, Netflix, and Zoom, they fell by 29 and 18% yesterday.
We're talking stay-at-home stocks. They've been schadenfreuding since March when COVID broke out.
But now it looks like the breakout could end with this vaccine.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in the pharma industry? Actually, the entire stock market.
Markets price in joy early. They also price in disaster early.
Snackers, investors are looking for the two beautiful keywords of any investment. A leading indicator.
A leading indicator, something we can measure today that tells us about the future.
So markets, they fell by 34% months before COVID had like really spiked in the US.
And they jumped 3% yesterday, months before we'll actually start crushing COVID with a usable vaccine.
We're talking about a vaccine that just got announced yesterday that still needs FDA approval, still needs to be mass manufactured, and still needs to be distributed to millions, scratch that, make it billions of people.
Oh, by the way, this vaccine is so sensitive, it needs to be shipped and stored in an ultra cold temperature of negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit.
Like such a high maintenance vaccine, geez. So it's going to be some months before we're actually vaccinated as people, if this vaccine even ends up fully working.
But investors and the stock market priced in that joy early yesterday.
For our second story, McDonald's just delivered, honestly, the most awkward earnings call of 2020, Jack and I have heard.
They announced a Beyond Meat competitor that's not actually a Beyond Meat competitor.
All right, so McDonald's stock jumped 5%. But the real thing that Jack and I had to focus on, because this is like what draws our attention, is the growth strategy, which every corporation needs alliteration in their growth strategy name.
They just announced their growth strategy, which is called Accelerating the Arches. Because remember, McDowell's has the arcs.
That's true. And you don't want a situation where you're using consonants. You get 2 points if you use vowels for the alliteration.
Coming in 2021 for McDonald's lovers and McDonald's shareholders.
Jack, I'm ready.
New burger buns.
Check.
A new fried chicken sandwich. And...
interesting. Okay.
The McPlant.
McPlant. This thing is quote-unquote plant-based meat created by McDonald's for McDonald's.
Next year, we're going to see on the McDonald's menu a bunch of burgers, breakfast sandwiches, even fried chicken that is made of plants.
Made of plants. No deal yet on what do you think the Happy Meal situation is going to be.
McDonald's is really toting up like how good this thing is going to be. They're claiming it's a special formula. They're claiming you can sink your teeth in taste. They're claiming you're going to have to wipe your mouth. It's so good.
They don't have adjectives at McDonald's. They just have many words they string together with hyphens.
But they didn't classic McDonald's, which has never told us about their secret sauce. They literally didn't tell us the secret formula for their secret sauce.
Yeah, we don't know if this is pea-based protein. We don't know if it's soy-based protein. We don't know if it's like some kind of cashew concoction situation.
Now, this whole announcement of McDonald's' own plant-based meat called McPlant, it's awkward. Because McDonald's already has a special relationship with one Beyond Meat, the leader in plant-based meat.
Yeah, this is what's so strange about this. On paper, it looks like they got a good working relationship because behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on between the two.
McDonald's' former CEO was an early investor in Beyond Meat and is still a member of the board of directors.
And because of that relationship, Beyond Meat and McDonald's have engineered themselves some fancy partnerships up north in Canada.
It's called the PLT. That's the plant, lettuce, and tomato. Great name for a meatless burger. It was launched up in Canada. It was a big deal for Beyond Meat.
Yeah, they spread these things. These patties are like floating around Ontario. They're everywhere. They're the pucks.
So it seemed like this was a budding, lovely relationship between Beyond Meat and McDonald's, but then came the seeming heartbreak yesterday.
Yeah, Jack and I are looking at the press release. We jumped in snack style and noticed two things. The first, this line, based on what we learned and an encouraging response, we're launching plant-based meat.
The second being no mention of Beyond Meat, the company that taught the learning referenced in that sentence from McDonald's.
This is Batman getting all the press, Bruce Wayne getting all the hate kind of a situation.
So this story seems like McDonald's is copying Beyond Meat at what Beyond does best, aka McDonald's is zucking Beyond Meat.
Jack and I have thrown this up to a stage 5 zucking. There's no other way to put it.
Beyond Meat stock fell by 9%. Trading of Beyond Meat shares was halted. It was a bad day for Beyond Meat.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Beyond Meat?
Beyond may have just made the most humble move in business. Low-key white labeling.
All right, so Jack and I are looking at this. We're like, oh wait, they can halt the stock twice in one day? That's brutal.
My phone started vibrating because Beyond Meat stock had risen by 5%. I was like, Nick, isn't it down 10% today?
Who whipped out the defibrillator on the New York Stock Exchange?
Now, it turns out there was a key detail in this story. Although McPlant is designed exclusively for and by McDonald's, McDonald's didn't clarify who is actually producing and manufacturing the meat.
And that's why 3 hours after the announcement that smacked Beyond Meat back into the fridge, Beyond Meat stock rose out of the microwave.
A Beyond Meat spokesperson clarified, "We are co-creators in McPlant. That's us."
Yeah, we're ghostwriting this situation, and we're doing it with a whole bunch of peas.
This would be such a humble and bold move for Beyond because they have been so focused on building their brand and making consumers think, plant-based meat?
Yeah.
Beyond Meat.
They're actually borderline obsessed, so narcissistic that when Dunkin' Donuts partnered up with Beyond Meat, they insisted it be named the Beyond Sausage Breakfast Sandwich at Dunkin'. That's insane.
But we may have reached an inflection point now where they're putting their brand aside
and letting someone else take credit for the product.
Because if Beyond supplies McDonald's with the McDonald's designed burger, that could end up being an even bigger business than the rest of Beyond Meat's existing business.
White labeling. This could be the first client of Beyond Meat's budding white labeling lab.
Humble. For our third and final story, VF Corp just acquired Supreme for, you know, a cool $2.1 billion. Not bad.
Supreme Streetwear has what fashion needs right now.
Oh, yes, it does. Supreme, it's like a YouTube influencer, but for t-shirts.
Founded in 1994 in New York City, Supreme's logo is the I Heart New York of the 2010s. Oh, shoot, we're in 2020.
It catches up with you.
Supreme only has 12 stores, so the brand is definitely punching above its weight.
Back in the 90s, Supreme focused on like actual real-life skateboarders down in Soho. Now it's focused on aspirational Instagram skateboarders who have never seen one.
That's why a plain white t-shirt costs $10.
But a plain white t-shirt with the Supreme logo, that's going to cost you $165.
Supreme is basically a logo.
It's just a logo. It's a red brick in like that Futura heavy oblique font. You've seen it. You don't realize you've seen it.
It says Supreme. And if you think you haven't seen the logo, you've seen the logo.
You've seen it on sneakers. You've seen it on sweatpants. Jack and I noticed they even sell a crowbar and a brick with their logo on it.
All you NBA fans out there, J.R. Smith has a Supreme logo tattooed on his calf.
And not like a small, subtle calf tat like people in South Boston do. We're talking the entire calf, says Supreme.
One economic principle has driven all of Supreme's appeal, and that principle is scarcity.
Yes. Snackers, Supreme doesn't sell products. It sells hype.
And scarcity is what generates hype.
Or typically, you're thinking like the Gap. They're trying to sell as many t-shirts as possible. They're like giving them away to your mom.
Supreme's not doing that. They're actually trying to make as few t-shirts as possible, but as many versions of that t-shirt as possible.
Jack up the price from all that demand on a few t-shirts, but do it across every possible collaboration a six-year-old could think of.
If you have an infinite number of collaborations, every single shirt is one of a kind.
Jack, how about Supreme hoodie?
Great, I love it.
$186. Oh, only six of them.
There's only six. I want it.
So take the Supreme hoodie. Starts at $188. They sell out of all six of them. Boom, next thing you know, it's on eBay for $1,300.
And with every one of these collaborative versions, they do a drop online with extremely limited numbers.
The next thing you know, there's like six pairs of Supreme street loafers, but they're with Gucci, but then they're gone.
So now VF Corp is acquiring Supreme, and it turns out they have a history and they have similar customer bases.
Jack, every time we cover VF Corp, how hard do we have to ask for them to just change the name already?
It's a soulless name VF Corp has, but the brands beneath it are actually quite soulful.
Yeah, this is like your Christmas list from a couple of years ago. You got the North Face, Timberlands, Vans, Dickies, kind of the back to school special.
That is VF Corporation, and they also have a long history of collaborations with Supreme. So it's kind of like a long interview process, a really long test drive it's had of Supreme, and now it's buying it.
At this point, they're getting pressured to just get engaged already, and so they're splurging $2.1 billion on the ring. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Supreme?
Chalk this up as another learnquisition for VF Corp.
Yeah, Snackers, VF Corp has a problem bigger than like those freshman year baggy jeans pre-slim fit.
The problem is commerce is moving online at an unrelenting pace, and VF Corp is nowhere to be seen online.
Get these numbers. Jack and I found that VF Corp's brands are only making 8% to 12% of their sales online.
That's why when stores were closed all of 2020, their sales fell by 48 and 19% the last two quarters.
Jack, help, I'm VF Corp and I can't get up.
Supreme, though, is totally different. They make up 60% of their sales online, and everywhere on social, you'll find Supreme.
Three words Supreme knows best, link in bio.
VF Corp needs some of that.
Some companies hire digital sales consultants over at McKinsey. VF bought Supreme instead. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Nick, the early phase three results for Pfizer's vaccine, they look good.
Yeah, the market's already priced in a sooner than expected end to COVID-19, hoping for the spring.
For our second story, McDonald's' McPlant sandwich sounded like terrible news for Beyond Meat,
yeah, it did,
but turned out to be good news.
By the way, while Jack and I are recording this podcast right now, it looks like Beyond Meat stock just sank 25% because its earnings came out and sales were like nothing.
Yeah. The sales weren't beyond. For our third and final story, VF Corp really needs some digital savvy.
So it's acquiring Supreme as a learnquisition. A little expensive, but you know, That's supreme.
2.1 billion, no big deal.
Now time for our snack fact of the day. This one's a follow-up snack fact tweeted in by a guy named Mike who heard our snack fact last week about the insane amount of cheese we eat.
Okay, we do eat an insane amount of cheese in this country, but it turns out one company makes the mozzarella cheese for Pizza Hut, Papa John's, and Domino's, three massive pizza chains.
Yeah, that's right. 85% of the pizza chain cheese market is them.
And them, hold on, I'm not done. They also do the cheese for Hot Pockets and Stouffer's TV dinners.
Oh, wait. Jack and I jumped in snack style, found out they also do the yogurt and Yoplait and the Pillsbury toaster strudel topping.
Are you ready to know who they are?
You're not going to expect who they are.
Leprino Foods, a family-owned Denver-based company, is the mega giant behind all this dairy.
Add up all that lactose, Jack, and that makes Little Leprino the biggest mozzarella producer on planet Earth. Snackers, you look fantastic on T-Boy Tuesday. Let your friends know HYHYSD.
I'm going to change out of this flannel and put on a chambray. I'll see you tomorrow. Have you had your snacks down?
Jack, I'm putting on my chambray pants as we speak. If you know, you know.
Nick, they're called jeans.
And before we go, snackers, James Chai and Allison Chan just got married. Oh, and they listened to 28 hours of snacks daily on a flight from San Francisco to Malaysia.
That's cool. So is Taryn Suvarna, who just passed her teacher's exam in Michigan.
In the meantime, happy birthday to Chris Liu over in Qingchuan, China.
And Michael Ossenheimer in Frankfurt, Germany.
And Bumit Desai over in New Orleans.
And Brent English in San Antonio, Texas.
And Drea's Ladenbig in Highland Park, California.
And Riley Nelson in South Abington, Pennsylvania.
And Elizabeth Navarro in New York City.
And Amy Russo in Newark, California.
And happy birthday, Justin Mabitad in Denver.
And happy birthday to Max in La Mesa, New Mexico.
But also Lauren Penza and Remington both having their birthdays, both in Chicago. And Jack, what does Chicago do?
Chicago does logistics. This is Jack. Nick and I both own stock of Beyond Meat.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.